Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I was talking to a guy yesterday, and he said, I can't explain it, but man, this show, I can't wait for the morning to come around. I said, I used to sleep in all the time. He said, man, now that you're doing this show every morning, he said, I know I can watch it taped, but he said, I don't know. He said, there's something fun about watching it live as it unfolds. He said, you've changed my whole life, my whole sleeping patterns. He said, I don't stay up as late as I used to. I used to waste time sitting in front of the TV and watching Fox News and just kind of falling asleep. And I said, I don't do that anymore. I go to bed. I get up early in the morning. My day goes faster. So praise the Lord. Any amens out there on that? You don't have to do that. That's the truth. Man, I'm in.
Amen.
Huh? It's crazy, isn't it? It is crazy. And I'm,
amen. Amen.
I spend no time. I don't know the last time I turned on Fox News. I'm telling you, I don't know the last time I watched that. I used to watch it every night. I used to sit there and watch O'Reilly followed by, say, O'Reilly at 8, Hannity at 9, and then they kept changing whoever it was at 10 o'clock. Then they threw Megyn Kelly in there, and Mick Kelly was on at 9, and then I used to watch all that stuff. I never, ever, 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 ever turn that on anymore. By the way, great show. You might want to go to the Hagman Report if you didn't get a chance to listen last night. I didn't get to listen to the whole thing. Brandon House was on last night. Brandon House has created a new documentary, a 6-CD documentary called Sabotage. Show us exactly what's going on to us here in America. And he's also written a book called Marxianity. And he was really, really good last night, really diving into some of the stuff. See, for whatever reason, there are still millions and millions and millions and millions, millions of Christians who are not following real biblical Christianity. It isn't. And so the devil, call him whatever you want to, Satanus, I think that's what Bizdar calls. Not to get Russ back on here, by the way, he's been pretty busy. Satan, has infiltrated the churches. And so he's infiltrated the churches so much that we reached the point in America that we don't even really know what the truth is. And if we were to be honest, which we are here on this show, much of what happens in the church is nothing more than a reaction to what happens in the world. The world has Halloween, so we have a Hallelujah night. The world has, you guys follow me, right? We just match everything that they do. We got to go back to our pagan holidays and all that, but even getting down to the basics. I had this conversation with David Arthur. David, I want you to talk. It looks like I got a booger there. All that is just white. Man, every time I look at myself, I guess I got to turn that up. If I could blow my nose. David, I'm going to get into what's going on with David Arthur. I think it's really, really pretty fascinating. But you guys tune in here for a reason, except my wife. I love my wife. I can't say that enough. I love my wife. I'm under 200 pounds for the first time in about 7 years, 8 years maybe.
Hallelujah.
How about that? I broke the 200 barrier. And it's, you know, I continue to try to exercise and walk, but I, you know, amazing things happen. My diet, changing my diet, upping my exercise and changing my diet. It's done wonders. I don't eat any junk. I eat some junk, but I don't eat any chips. I don't eat that stuff. And I find out I'm not hungry. I'm not nearly as hungry. I haven't had a French fry and I don't know when. I don't eat potatoes. I cut back on my bread. I'm under 100. I'm heading for 180. They'll think I'm in a concentration. I get to 180. But let me, I lost where I was. My wife, as I was coming down, she says, this is for some of you out there as well. She said, talk about something spiritual. She said, I'm people like me. We need spiritual nourishment in the morning. She says, don't talk so much about worldly stuff. And So I hear you out there. I hear you, Michelle. But those of you who know, this is a blending of those two things. And, you know, I got some stuff today that's not spiritual, although I believe the Spirit's all weaved through it. She said, I get tired of hearing bad news. I said, well, honey, it's not bad news. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. We're not to be ignorant of his devices. Mark Trump can't get in, Jared. Is there some reason he can't get in? He says he's tried 20 times. He can't get in. So, Mark, you try one more time, and Jared's going to be looking for you. We need you in here, right? So I got some things down here I want to go over real quickly, and then I want to dive into something. Number one, we are going back to Florida December 9th through the 15th. I don't know if Jim Kraft's in here. Jim, I don't mean to dump this into your lap, but you've been the great organizer of this whole thing. And anybody that wants to go, folks, it's important. If you would like to go, it's important that we would know that, because we have to figure out housing, what that's going to look like. We have to figure out, we don't know if that church is still going to be able to house us. Jimmy will run all that down. We don't know if we're going to get hotel rooms. We just need to know so we can make. And we would like to take 20, however many people would like to go down there the week of the 9th. We're going to go in on Sunday on the 9th, and we're going to come out probably Friday, which I think is the 15th. And we would love for you to be able to come down any part of that. We would love to. We're willing to help you with your traveling needs. If you don't have the money to get down and you'd like to be part of it, we're willing to help you with that. Jim, I don't know if you have any more to add on that. All I'm saying is, folks, if you're interested in coming, we would love to have you come and be part of it. But we need to know you're coming. Okay, we need to know you're coming. Craig said he's heading back down here. From what I understand from talking to Denny yesterday, Craig, he may be bringing some other people with you. And as I said yesterday or the other day, it's a great opportunity to get other people involved. And then I said this to Victor. You know, Victor called me the other night. God bless Victor. He called me. Did we get Trump in here yet, Mark? I don't know what's going on here. Let's send. Hey, Jared, send old Trump his own personal thing. See if we can log him in. Here's what I said to Victor. And I want you all to take this the right way. Okay. I told Victor, go out and try to raise your support, Victor. So what? Yeah, go out and try to raise your support. So what do you mean? I said, well, start talking enough. Help, not beg for money. Ask people to invest in what it is that you're doing. And it'll start a conversation with people you come in contact with. Maybe go to your local grocery store and ask them if you tell them exactly what's going on. Show them Pass the Salt Ministries. You're going to go down there and you're raising money. Would they mind if you stood out in front like the little red kettle rang a bell? Hey, listen, people will give you $5. You got 100 people to give you $5. You got $500 to pay for your trip. But even more than that, it gives them an opportunity to invest in it. It'll bring up inside of them an awareness of what's going on, that people are down there and there's still trouble and that you'd like to go. And Victor said, boy, that's really getting me out of my comfort zone. Duh. Duh. Well, that's what we have to do. We have to get out of our comfort zone. So you don't have to raise money. I'm just saying that's a great opportunity for you to be able to do that. So November 9th through the 15th, we're going to be down there. I just saw Craig said he's coming. He's bringing his skid steer down. He got a new fork for it. Jimmy, anything at all, man? We just need to know, folks, because we want to have good facilities and everything for you. Jim isn't saying anything. If he's there. So anyway, that's 9th through the 15th. And then how about this? Yesterday I spoke about revival in your town, and then I heard from Pam, and we're going to be in Rochester, Minnesota, May 1, 2, and 3. Put that on your calendar if you're in that area. May 1, 2, and 3. I don't know, is Rob Pugh listening today? Rob, she'd love for you to be part of that too. I don't know if Rob may not be in here yet. He'll catch the replay of it. May 1, 2, and 3, we're going to be in Rochester, Minnesota. Going to do a little bit of work there. And that's what I said. My wife said to me yesterday, honey, you have things lined up this winter? Are you getting things lined up? We're open now. We're open now. We'd love to come to your town on a weekend, do it on a 3-day revival in the middle of the week, whatever. We can help you. I heard from, I don't have it up in front of me, the guy out in Omaha, near Omaha. Will you come out here if I can get 20 people together? I said, listen, that's what we're trying to do, whatever we can do. Okay. Boom. Third thing. This, I get several of these. So I just think it's, I want to cover. And this is not to make anybody feel bad, okay? I get emails, not often, but once a week probably, from people regarding my harsh language. And I understand. They say a man of God shouldn't be swearing. And I said, okay, I understand that. What does it mean to swear? And I don't ask them that question in a condemning way. What does that even mean? What is a swear word? Hell? Is hell a swear word? Is damn, D-A-M-N, a swear word? What does that even mean? So I went to Webster's this morning, Jared, see if you can pull Mr. Webster up there for me a little bit. But here's the gist of what I respond when people say this. If you would read my emails, you would know this. I have drawn people to the queue because of my harsh. What's the word? Not harsh. My hard language. That has drawn some men. That has drawn some men.
Strong.
Strong language. Thanks, Joe. Strong language. I don't swear. I don't swear. I don't cuss. I don't drop the F-bomb. I say hell and I say damn. That's strong language. So I said, well, I hear you. So I went to Webster's and Jared put up cuss, C-U-S-S, the cuss. Well, they're in the word. They're in the word cuss. Okay, so put up curse then, Jared. Maybe say you're using curse words. Curse. What's that mean? To utter a wish of evil against one, to imprecate evil upon, to call for mischief or injury to fall upon one, to execrate, curse, to injure, to subject the evil, to vex, harass, or torment with great calamities on impious realms. Number three, going down, Jared. To devote to evil. Number four, malediction, the expression of a wish of evil to another one, imprecation of evil. Affliction, torment, great vexation, condemnation, denunciation of evil. See, curse doesn't. Where do we get these words? Coach, quit using curse words. What are you talking about? What's a curse word? Right. And so then one more, Jared. Swear. Well, you got to stop swearing, folks. I'm not making fun of anybody out there. I hear you. To swear is to affirm or utter a solemn declaration and appeal to God for the truth of what's affirmed. To promise upon an oath. Jacob said to swear to me this day. Just quit swearing to give evidence of an oath. Oh, here you go. Number four, to be profane or to practice profaneness. Certain classes of men are accustomed to swear. For men to swear is sinful, disreputable, and odious. But for females or ladies to swear, here's more abominable and scandalous. So am I making sense here, boys and girls? I don't want my language to be a stumbling block to anybody. Joe, what was it you said? It's hard language.
Strong language.
Strong language. It's hey, strong. Coach,
the problem is that too many in the, quote, church have accepted the world's interpretation of the Ten Commandments, where it said, which one is that? Take not the name of the Lord thy God in vain.
You'll never hear me do that, Larry.
They put that in custom and swearing. It has nothing to do with cussing and swearing. Zero to do with cussing and swearing.
But by the way, you'll never hear me use that name in vain. You'll never hear me, even though I agree with you, Larry, you'll never hear me do that.
Even by definition, Coach, you don't swear, because to be profane would be to be to anything sacred, irreverent to anything sacred. It's a profane man takes the name of God in vain or treats sacred things with abuse and irreverence. And that's not the language you use.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, Joe.
I was a submarine sailor for 10 years. You don't cuss.
Yeah. Hey, I was a football coach for 30. I don't cuss. I get you. Trump made it in. Thanks, Mark.
Just 15 seconds for those who are wondering where I'm coming from and what I said. And vanity, take not the name of the Lord thy God in vain, means don't even talk about God in emptiness. Vanity means emptiness. So when you're talking about God, you're serious. If you're not serious, then you're taking the name of the Lord in vain.
And I'll add on to that. Don't call yourself a Christian and not be one. Don't call yourself a Christian and not live by the principles of Christianity. That's what it means to take the Lord's name in vain. Don't say I'm a Christian and then not be a Christian. That's what I think it means. I don't use the GD word or the JC word. Yes, both of those bother me. I don't use those. But hey, listen, I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just trying to explain to people. Joe's, what was the word you used, Larry? Joe, what was the word? My language is what?
Strong.
Men are drawn to strong language. Men are drawn to it. I hate to tell you that. Men are drawn to it. Unsaved men are drawn to it. I'm just telling you that. Sorry. I'd never do anything to try to ruin my witness. I put another thing here in my notes. I'm convinced of this. Folks, so you look around. I had to go to Walmart yesterday. Then I went to Rural King. I like Rural King. They give you free popcorn. I went to Rural King yesterday, and I was just looking around. Do you know this? Michelle said, don't say this. I love you, honey. I'm going to say it anyway. A lot of unattractive people in the world. Extremely overweight. Just not very attractive people. And David, I don't wonder if some of this, especially in women, some of this homosexuality stuff that's going on. So how do I say this in the right way? Some of the women that I see fighting for women's rights would have a hard time finding a man. Does that make sense? Does anybody understand what I'm saying here? Did you yell at me, Michelle?
Coach.
I was first stepping on this. Yes. Yeah, Joe.
I think if they can't find a man, I think there are no men to find.
Oh, Joe. Well, that's a whole nother issue as well. And so I look out in our sex-starved culture and our sex-starved the nation in which we live, and I would understand now why an unattractive woman might be drawn to an unattractive woman, because it really, both of them probably, it's hard to find a man to love them. That sounds really, you come here, I tell you the truth, okay? Now, homosexuality, men on men, that's a little different. It's just a little different. I don't think, David, I'm going to get myself in a hole here. I'm not going to be able to get out. But I think the part of the sexual confusion that we see, especially in women, is that just so many of them just aren't very attractive. I just noticed it as I look around. Just look around. That's what I see. Help me, David, real quick. Just real quickly.
You know what, Coach? What you see is a lot of women who have a low self-esteem.
Yeah.
Who have no self-confidence. And so if you have no self-esteem and you have no self-confidence, then your appearance reveals that. And you
doesn't reflect it. That's right.
They even make themselves unattractive. How many pictures have we seen with the before and after where they were ridiculously looking masculine or very unattractive because of their mindset and their belief system? And then they were saved and Jesus transformed them, and they were beautiful young women. You know, so how many times have we seen that? We've seen it a lot. And when you look at these women, that's why they go after the women that look like men and act like men, because they still want to keep that natural order that's already ingrained in them as the one male, one female. So they always look for a dominant or a more, you know, masculine.
Yeah. Yeah,
you can't get away from the natural order that God created. But it's also a perversion, Coach. It's just the perversion. I learned that when I came out of prison and no longer wanted to dress like a woman, but I still had breasts. I thought, well, gosh, who's going to, you know, ain't no homosexual man going to want me with breasts. But I found out that it didn't really matter what I looked like. It was just the perversion of being sexual. Because that's all it is. It's just a sexual perversion. It's not even really a physical attractiveness. It's a sexual attraction.
Oh, man. David, you lead me right where I want to go. Go to Romans 1, Jared, by the way, while you're there. And when we're going to get into Romans 1, this is not planned. I'm going to get into the word here. I want to try to tie together two different scriptures for us. Romans 1. We're all familiar with Romans 1 because sex is the sexual. I mean, they say the two greatest desires that a man has, and a woman, I would assume. I've never been a woman. The two greatest desires that men and women have are to eat and to have sex. And by the way, those are the two most perverted things that we do. If you think about it, those are the two greatest perversions. What we eat, how we overeat, and then our sexual appetite. Those are the two great, because they're the strongest desires, they're the two that are most, I think, most abused. At least that we recognize, right? And that comes back to Romans 1. We are in such a sexualized society. Because remember this, folks, Christianity 101, you are not a body. You are a spirit that lives in a body and you possess a soul. You are a soul. You are a living soul. God breathed into Adam the breath of, God formed man out of the dust of the earth, Genesis 3, breathed in him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You are a living soul. You just live in a body. You just live in a body. And if you don't have if you've never been born again of the Spirit of God, if you've never exchanged the Spirit of the life of Jesus, being born again, exchanging his life for your life, or your life for his life, if you've never received that, then you will the rest of your life continue to be a natural man. And a natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, meaning this, if you are a natural man and that's all you are, then you will constantly live your life to fulfill natural needs. Sex, food, attention, whatever you want to. Those are all needs of the natural man. Now, once you get born again, you have the ability to get victory over those natural needs, but that doesn't come easy. That's what it talks about working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's what it means when it talks about he who endures to the end shall be saved. See, when you get born again, you now have the ability to say no to what you could never say no to. And so we look out across society and we see what's going on in society, and you see that the media, everything about everywhere that you look, all that is exposed, all that you see is the glorification of the natural man. We live in a natural world where the enemy has seized control of every one of our, as we've spoken before, every one of our media, entertainment, they've seized control of every bit of it. So therefore, there is nothing spiritual on that we can see, except every once in a while they'll do, you know, some crazy. I'm going to get to one here in a second. But it all comes back to the fact that those of us who are spiritual, I consider myself a spiritual man. I seek after the things that are spiritual. I dabble in the natural. I like to eat. I have a relationship with my wife. I dabble into those things within the bounds of marriage, the way it's supposed to work. I dabble in those. But I'm a spiritual man first. And once I began to understand that I'm that this natural man, that the Bible is writing about those two dichotomies, the dichotomy of the spiritual man and the natural man receives not the things of the spirit. When I began to understand that dichotomy and that temptation is not only coming from without me, but from outside, not only do the evil spirits tempt me, but my own nature tempts me. That's why we say we've been crucified with Christ, nevertheless we live, right? There's no temptation that's come upon you but that which is common to man. Even after you get saved, those temptations do not go away, but the temptations can now be controlled. And I think I've told you this story when my wife was looking for a bathing suit when we were going to go on vacation. For the next 6 months, every time I turned on my computer, women in bathing suits popped up on my screen. And the temptation to look there. As my buddy Tom Gill says, I'm married, not buried. Those temptations are still there. They never, ever, ever go away. And so I think that's one of the greatest misunderstandings and mischaracteristics that we have in the church. See, folks, listen. A man could call himself a homosexual. A woman could call herself a lesbian, call herself a homosexual. And she could, in fact, go to church and fall into the church pattern and actually claim that she loves God and that strength comes from, because she could claim all that stuff. But unless they don't get control over their natural desires, they are not born again of the Spirit of God. David, I hate to make you the expert. Am I honored or not, David? See, I can eat. I can be born again and eat. I can do that. I can be born again and watch porn. I can do all that. And then go back and repent and be sorry for it. But if I'm really born again, I don't do those things. I don't do those things. I have the power now to not to do it. Help me, Dave.
See, it's more or less, Coach. It's like it's that process. It's as we grow, because we have to progress. We can't remain the same. We can't regress. We have to progress. And so in that time of progression, there are times that we, in the beginning, we do stumble. We stumble along the way because we don't know the way. So we're being led. And so, yeah, in the beginning, we do things that maybe we shouldn't do. You know, when I got saved, my new addiction was food. I went up to 415 pounds plus. You know, so my new addiction became food. But I had to recognize it and deal with it and allow the Lord to lead me and guide me through it. But, yeah, you know what? All through the scriptures, and it doesn't matter what translation you use, what dictionary you use, the scriptures are clear. Jesus says, see, it doesn't really matter what anybody else said, because Jesus says, go and sin no more constantly to people, which tells us that he wouldn't be telling people to do this if it wasn't possible.
Amen.
He would not tell people go and sin no more if it wasn't possible, because we know from scripture, even when the disciples or when the apostles said, well, who sinned, this man or his parents, because of his affliction, because of his blindness? And Jesus said, oh, no, neither. His suffering is all for the Lord's glory, you know. Yeah. So we know that sin causes infirmities and afflictions and all of these other things. So when Jesus says, "Go and sin no more," he's telling us that we can go and sin no more. All through the scriptures, it says that the man should be perfect, that in order to be righteous, you have to be in a right relationship with God. But then the scriptures tell us that God hates sin. So how can we sin and be in a right relationship with God? We can't. It's impossible.
Amen. It's impossible. So folks, understand this. This is, I believe, the greatest lie be careful, Coach. A lot of great lies. The idea, the church is bought in, dealing with homosexuality, the church is bought into the lie that you're born that way. Can I be very honest with you? I think every man on this show right here was born into adultery, born into fornication. If every man had his way, he would go bed as many women as he could. Would anybody disagree with that? I mean, we're all born in that, right? But once you get married and you say, no, I'm not going to do that anymore, that temptation continues to be there. Hey, David, I could be an adulterer right now. I could go out on my walk. Michelle's going to go substitute teach today. I could go to Columbus. I could go be an adulterer right now.
Temptation does not a sin make.
The temptation is not a sin make, right? But yet, so, well, if I came back then and I went out and I was having adultery on my wife and I came back and confessed, say, honey, I'm sorry, I was just born this way. Can't you just accept me? I love you. I really love you, Michelle, but I'm just born this way. I can't get away from it. That would be ridiculous, right? Or what would you say like this? Or let's be honest. You eat too much, right? We eat too much. When's the last time that somebody said to me, you eat too much? You know, L.A. Marzulli pointed out to me, I wrote a commentary about being able to run. How far could you run? I think it was. And L.A. wrote right back to me and says, Coach, how far could you run? And I thought, wow. And so I said, you know what? I'm not going to eat so much. I'm going to do something with my temple. So nobody came along and said, well, Coach, the Lord just made you that way. Eat as much as you want to and get you a great big old fat butt. The Lord made you that way. Well, drink. I just born Budweiser. I just love Budweiser. There's not any other. See, the propensity to sin is in all of us. And we have sold out the homosexual person by telling them they can't do anything about it. They can't. You're with me on this, right, folks? This is where we are in the culture and society. And as a result, we have, we've just got injured lives everywhere. We have moral chaos because the church has accepted the fact that you can't control your behavior, right? Can't control your urges. Well, I don't know how I got on this, but I'm glad I'm on it. I'm going somewhere with it because certain sins we're okay with, other sins we're not okay with. And Jared pulled up for me Romans 1 on the screen. Jared, let's go down through this real quick, Jared. Start about 16. Go to verse 6. We've heard this over and over and over, but in light of what we were just talking about here, I want you to see this again, okay? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. There it is. See, there it is. When you get born again, you now have the power of God, not only to salvation. Salvation means, wow, we could look that up, right? You now have the power to be saved. Power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believes, the Jew first, also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Therein, where is it revealed? The power of God unto salvation. Therein, the righteousness of God is revealed. That's where it's revealed. Where? For the power of God unto salvation. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. The just shall live by faith. What does that mean, the just shall live by faith? Faith that they have victory over that. For the wrath of God is revealed. So now he's going to show us God's wrath is revealed. How's God's wrath revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and unrighteousness? Folks, he's not talking about end time judgment. That's not what he's talking about. He says the wrath of God is, Larry, not was, is. The wrath of God is currently still going on. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against what? All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Exactly what David said. You cannot be saved and continue to sin. You cannot. Now you can struggle with it, but at some point, if you're a saved man, you're going to get victory over it. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. It appears in us. For God showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world, they're clearly seen. They were without excuse. Right? Because that when they knew God, people go to church, they say they know God. They glorified him not as God. No, they weren't. They didn't glorify him as God. They glorified them as God. My body, my desires, my choice. We receive Jesus. We say we receive Jesus, and we don't die to ourselves. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They knew God, but they didn't glorify him as God. They glorified them. And said, God's given us all these things in our lives that make me healthy, wealthy, and wise, and happy. They knew God, but they didn't glorify him. And when that what happened, they became vain in their imaginations. Vain, Larry, empty. Their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. They believed they were born that way and that they can do this and get away with it. Even though they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God. And then professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and began to accept this marriages in their churches and began to say, you're born that way, and to love them. They became fools because they thought they were wise. And what happened? They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like the corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. See, we took God and we glorified all these earthly, fleshly things. Wherefore, God gave them up to wherefore then? Because rather than wherefore. Because God also gave them up then to that stuff, to those lusts of their own hearts. Oh, my goodness. Created me a clean heart. He gave them up to the uncleanness of the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their bodies between themselves, to change the truth of God into a lie. And they worship and serve themselves rather than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, what cause? Because they changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the Creator. For that cause, God gave them up to vile affections. He said, okay, you're going to do that? Okay, here's some vile affections. Homosexuality, overeating, pornography. Here, go ahead. Fill yourself up with this stuff. Go ahead, man. Go ahead. Or even vile affections, or even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Wow. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman. These are all what? God gave them over, right? The men burned in their lust one for another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves. It's who they become. They identify as, I'm a homosexual, I'm gay, I'm LGBTQ. That's who they became, receiving in themselves the payment for their error, which was due. And even they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over then to a reprobate mind. Some of these are people who know God. to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full enemy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, disobedient, proud, disobedient to parents, inventors of ways that do crazy things without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, murdering their own daggone babies, implacable, unmerciful. Bobby Lee, without natural affection, having children and treating them like animals, not even know how to take care of them so much that the state's got to come in and do it. Who, knowing the judgment of God that they which do such things are worthy of death. We know they are worthy of death. We, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same thing, but accept it in our churches. Have pleasure in them that do it. That's right there it is, boys. Right there. Somebody bark at me a minute.
You know what, Coach? That Romans 1 is well, first of all, it was the passage that crumbled my entire foundation that I ever stood on for 30 years. But two, it wasn't long after that God gave me that revelation in Romans 1, where it starts at verse 24, where God gives them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own heart. And reading that to answer Todd Henry's question, is homosexuality a work of the flesh or demonic? It's both.
Mm.
Both. Because the lust of the flesh and the spirit of homosexuality, as well as the spirit of being effeminate, homosexuality never comes alone. It's a legion.
Hey, David, how about
it never comes alone.
I can tell you this. If the first, anybody listening to me right now, I can promise you this. The first time to do something is always the hardest. Once you do it once, it's easy to do it again. And I say that as a spiritual influence that happens. Once yes. you lay with a man, it's easy to lay with a man again.
Right, yes. And then they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. For this cause, see that where God gives them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, that's strike one. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, because when you lay with a man, it does get easier, but you don't get the same pleasure. And so then you want it to go. Then you want to go in that spiral down. You want to go darker and deeper. So then you might want to go from laying with a man to laying with a younger man, or even for some, they're perverted even in a different direction and want to lay with an older man, or maybe some want to lay with a dead man. Some might want to lay with a man that has breasts that looks like a woman.
Vile affections, Jared. Look up vile in Webster's. Go ahead, David. Vile.
And then strike three, leaving the natural use and all of that. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So if you don't want to retain something, it's because you've already had it. You can't not want to retain something that
so
you
David,
never had.
So David,
you
step
have the
three,
knowledge of God.
Step three was when they went all in. They went all in on it.
Yeah, step three is you cross that line, you cross that barrier, and now to be reprobate, it literally means to be void of judgment, to be spiritually worthless. When you cross that line, when you become reprobate, there is no hope. That's why there's two strikes before strike three.
Wow.
And it just gets darker and darker and deeper and deeper. But the knowledge of God is there. He places that truth within us from the very beginning. And it says for strike two, that God gave them up, those who changed the truth of God and worshiped and served the Creator, because God gave them up unto vile affections.
Step three. Strike three.
Yes. Because they did not want to retain the knowledge of God. You can't retain something that you never had.
So vile is what, Jared? What is vile, according to Webster's? Is baseness, meanness, despicableness, moral baseness or depravity, degradation by sin, extreme wickedness as the vileness of mankind. So he gave him over to vile affection, right? Right? And so what's been the response of the church? Well, the church has begun to accept this vile affection, which, by the way, it tells us in Romans 1:28 that we would. And we would start to give hearty approval to those who do it. Now, I'm going to show you something. Let me make sure I'm on the right page here. Hey, guys, do you know, I came across one of the most unbelievable. God. Amazing. Nobody wants to hear this, but I'm going to go there anyway.
Hey,
yeah, George, go ahead.
Hey, just real quick, this is so balanced today. You know, I see it clear as can be. I saw yesterday a professional football player from a number of years ago marry a younger man. These guys are famous in the world. I can't remember their names, but you know, it's because the church won't talk about it. They don't really believe there's victory over it. And I think what you're doing today is great because you're addressing the problem that each of us face, but then how to have victory.
Amen. Well, listen, see, here's the truth. Genesis, the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. The battle has never changed. The devil wants the seed of Christ. He wants that seed. He wants our seed. He wants our children, right? If he can't get it through abortion, he's going to get them through homosexuality. He's going to get them through some type of perversion. He's going to take the sex act, which was designed for in the bonds of matrimony, that sex act, for the purpose of procreation. A miracle occurs in the sex act where the Bible says it's a mystery that the two become one. You can't even explain it. It's a mystery. That the devil wanted to pervert that, and he wanted to turn that intimate sex act where a man and woman become one, he wanted to turn it into nothing more than personal enjoyment. Just enjoyment. Sex is enjoyment. Sex is nothing more now than eating a good meal. I'm going to have me a good meal. I'm going to go to the smorgasbord, and I'm going to fill up at the smorgasbord, or I'm going to go have as much different sex as I can. It's the same thing. It's the same spirit. But here's the amazing thing I saw. I've been watching this now for about 6 months. Fascinating. You know, young people, what would they say, young people? Under the age of 35, let's say under the age of 35, you know that they're having less sex now? They're having less sex. You know why they're having less sex? Because they've turned to self-sex. The devil has now been so effective that men and women are now getting sexual gratification without ever leaving their home. Sexual urge, sexual gratification. And a lot of it has to do with this. They don't know how to be intimate with anybody else anymore. Is this all making sense? And so the church, well, I'm going to show you a video clip here. Oh, I got so much stuff to show you. We're not reproducing anymore. Larry, that's a whole nother story. Maybe I'll get into that a little bit more tomorrow. David Arthur went and watched a movie the other night. He told me, Coach, I'm going to go. I'm looking at this over here. David said, I'm going to go watch this movie called Boy. What's the name of it, David?
Boy Erased.
Boy Erased. He said it's a movie about homosexuality. Boy Erased. I sent that to you, didn't I? Yeah. Yeah, okay, hang on. Jared's got it up. This is a movie that's out there. It's a movie. Understand this, folks. We are being bombarded on every angle in regards to human sexuality. Keep it right there a second, Jared. Now, listen. It's emotional, right? This, David told me he cried. I probably would cry if I went and saw the movie. And I don't care who you are. You look at people who are trapped in homosexuality, and it breaks our heart. Because we know it's not normal, but we love the people. Our hearts are torn. Now, why don't we look at that way, people who are really, really fat? Why don't we look at somebody that's really, really fat? Say, oh, that pig, oh, he does overeat. But yet we want to love the homosexual, right? We want to love. Because, see, overeating is self-destruction, isn't it? Devil's doing pretty good there, too. But this movie is called Boy Erased. I want to give you, remember, my teaching tells me this, let you know the end of the story before we get back. David Arthur went and watched this movie. And when he got done watching this movie, he was so moved by it. He went home, he did some research, and he called the pastor that this is his son. This is a pastor's son trapped in homosexuality. And it's that story. And David called that pastor and found him down in Arkansas. And David Arthur is going to go down and speak in his church. Coming up this next week. Is it this next weekend, David? Coming up this next weekend.
I'm going down to visit. I'm not scheduled to speak.
This is amazing, right? So I want you to watch this guilt trip, this emotional guilt trip of this movie called Boy Erased. And the boy erased is simply this. He's a homo. His dad's a pastor. He goes through conversion therapy, a lot of different things. And if you watch this trailer, when this thing's over, you're going to say, oh, we have to accept him. This is so horrible. It's emotional. All right, go ahead and play it, Jared.
Your revelation.
Jared, I want you to do well. I want you to have a great life. I love you, but we cannot see a way that you can live under this roof if you're going to fundamentally go against the grain of our beliefs. Jared, tell me the truth. That's all.
I think about men. I don't know why. And I'm so sorry.
Your parents signed you up for a program to fix you, but Jared, you are a perfectly normal, very healthy teenage boy.
They're gonna do things for you.
Your revelation.
You wanna say goodbyes?
Welcome to the Refuge Program.
You cannot be born a homosexual. This is a lie. It's a choice.
Go! Fake it till you make it. Become the man you are not. Save yourself!
Jared, God will not love you the way that you are.
Is this what you want? Who's gonna strike this demon down? Hit him!
It's a rocky.
I'm having a tough time.
I'm gonna give you some advice. Tell them whatever they want to hear.
Play the part.
Unless you really think you can change. Or even want to.
What you're going through right now is just a moment.
A moment.
Yeah.
A moment.
I love God and I love my son. For your father, it's a little more complicated.
We are not finished.
I am, because you won't listen.
God.
Your father is sitting here. Tell him how you hate him.
I'm not going to pretend I hate my father. I don't hate my father.
Then where is all this anger coming?
Because you're making me angry.
Open the door now.
Mom.
They say sometimes you got to hurt a child in order to help them, but a mother knows when something isn't right.
I don't want to pretend anymore.
I've had to ask myself and God if I'm ready to lose you.
Your revelation, won't you liberate me now?
David, how does the movie come out? Because I know you've seen it. Boy Erased.
It ends up where the mother actually removes him from the conversion therapy, and she leans more towards him, and the father leans more towards the word of God, the scriptures, and the boy, the man, Jared, he now lives in New York City, and he is openly homosexual. He's a blogger, a writer, and his father is still standing on the word of God.
You researched and found his dad and called and spoke to his dad without giving out anything privately. I wouldn't want you to do that, David. What did the conversation consist of?
When I watched the movie, I mean, I have to say, it was more emotional for me now, because now I could feel and understand every character, not just the boy, but every character. And I just kept feeling led to reach out to this man and this woman, the parents, and to the boy. And that comes next. But
because the parents look like villains in this, David, do they look like villains?
They do, because they look like
Christianity looks villainous.
This is a powerful tool against Christianity, Coach, this movie. But it's also a powerful tool against conversion therapy. And for that, I say thank you, Jesus, because conversion therapy is nonsense. It's unbiblical. It's unscriptural. And it's not good. But when I reached out to this man, he's getting a lot of phone calls from a lot of people, and some good, some bad. But we spoke, and I could hear the pain in his voice. And I knew that I was supposed to reach out to him. And I knew that I was, and I told him, I said, I'm calling just to encourage you and your wife. Because I said to him, and that's how I knew it was the Holy Spirit, because I said, you leaned on conversion therapy. That was the wrong way. I said, but your wife is leaning towards your son's choices, and you're leaning towards the scriptures. I said, and each of you need to know that there's a balance there, and that there's more, and that there's hope for freedom for your son. And when I woke up the next morning, I had a text from this pastor that said, David, I just prayed for you. You have really encouraged me. Mm. I have yet to talk with someone that has left that life behind. Just another way that Jesus used you. Keep listening to the Lord, and may he continue to fill you with all that you need. And he goes on to talk about some things that we talked about, but the power of that let me know. I was going to mail him a book. And the Spirit was like, no, you're going to go down there and you're going to hand him a book, and you're going to give him and his wife and his family and his congregation encouragement that there is freedom from this death style, that there is freedom from this stronghold, and that the freedom is found only in Jesus and not in any worldly or manly methods.
Amen. You know?
And that's where I'm going.
Amen.
Could 10 of you go to David Arthur's website right now and give $50 to pay for this trip? 10 of you listening right now could go to David. What's the website?
AlphabetManLive.com.
AlphabetManLive.com. Just go and give 10 of you or 20 of you, give $25. Give $500 to David. He's going to go this weekend to go down there and bring hope. Can you imagine? Can you imagine this pastor who's made this strong biblical stand, the position he's taken, and now to have his story broadcast around the world, and what he must feel like, and what for having stood and now probably questioning himself, and who knows all that's going on, and that David Arthur would pick up a phone and call him, and this guy would open his arms and say, please come and give me a hug. Yes,
and you know what bothered me the most is that he's received nothing but phone calls and correspondence, for good and bad, ever since the book came out in 2016, and especially now that the movie is out. But what really bothered me is that nobody that has been set free from that death style has reached out to this man or his family.
Wow.
That really bothers me, because I think that maybe that tells me that quite a few of these people are a far cry from the very righteousness of which they've been called.
Amen, buddy. Amen. Because, folks, none of us know how we would react were it our child, right? But listen, don't miss what I'm saying to you, okay? This is nothing more than the fulfilling of the lust of the flesh. Homosexuality is nothing more than the fulfillment of overeating. You see, are you comparing those two? They are both lusts of the flesh. And we accept people overeating. We make fun of them, right? We don't send them to conversion therapy. What made me drop 20 pounds? Conversion therapy? No, I came to the point where I said, you know, I'm not going to do this to my temple anymore. It's not that I don't like ho-hos and ding-dongs and Fritos. I just said no to ho-tos, ding-dongs, and Fritos. And we're living in a society where sexually ho-hos, ding-dongs, and Fritos, and they don't know they can say no to it. That's all that it is. They are both the two greatest desires, sex and food. And we don't know how to say no to either one of them. Is that close, David?
That's spot on, because like I said, not only is it the lust of the flesh, but it's the spirits. You know, so Todd's question was, is it a spirit or is it a lust of the flesh? It's both. You know, when we start wanting to satisfy the lust of our flesh, we open up the doors for those spirits, for that darkness to come in.
Just think about the food that you eat, man. When you decide, when you go to a buffet, think how gluttony takes over. You just freaking eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat, and then followed up with an ice cream cone at the end of it, right? Well, those two desires are really, really not that much different. It's just been kind of me and David here this morning. Anybody else want to jump in here? I didn't mean to make it me and David. Wasn't what I thought the show was going to be.
Dave, the only thing I would add is we on the huddle need to work strongly and hardly and consistently to help David get into environment to challenge this evil. We just need to talk to pastors, groups. We need to help them get into these places.
Amen, buddy. Amen. Listen.
Okay. Yeah, Larry. You mentioned we're not reproducing earlier. And, you know, that applies even more so, I believe, to our spiritual reproduction than it does to our propagation as a people. Because the, quote, church out there is not reproducing because they have no idea of who they are. They have followed the lies that have been implanted in the thing called itself the church for so many decades and so many generations that they can't reproduce themselves because they don't know who they are.
Larry, that's what I was going to talk about today. Believe it or not, that's where I was heading. Maybe I'll pick up on this tomorrow because we're not reproducing. We're not.
And I just want to say that our next segment of our Bible study that we do on Saturday evenings is going to cover what is the biblical gospel. What verses in the Bible constitute something that is not negotiable? What is the biblical gospel? And we're going to learn together on this. I've got some that I've found out, but I'm sure there's other things that some of you guys, the Spirit has, informed within you. We need your input. If you're not getting the Bible study notices, just put your email in the chat, and I'll be sure to add you to the Bible study notices.
Amen. Amen. So, again, folks, David Arthur is driving to Arkansas, leaving on Thanksgiving's Thursday, right? He's probably going to leave Friday morning. He's going to meet with this pastor on Saturday and hopefully attend church. Hopefully the pastor. See, I think the pastor's probably in somewhat of a jam. Does he let David come up there and speak when it seems like he's bringing in some guy to support his position? So, you know, that's, I'm sure that he's very, very sensitive to that as well, but this is a brother that certainly needs to be encouraged. And David has made the decision. He's going to do that. So if you will go to alphabetmanlive.com and make a donation, 20 of you given 25 or 10 of you given 50. And David's trip will be paid for. You didn't ask me to do it, but I understand, man. I understand what it's all about. So anybody, help me wrap it up here. This is so good because this isn't what I meant it to be. Isn't that awesome how this works out? Somebody come on in. Anything for the good of the group at all?
You know, you mentioned a buffet. I got about a minute here. A lot of people, when they go to a food buffet, man, if it looks good, they eat it. But when they go to the Bible, which has a gospel buffet, they start picking and choosing what they're even going to look at.
They sure do. But Romans 1, without Christ, you go to the sexual buffet. And that isn't very good. Don't ever forget your two greatest appetites are your sexual appetites and your food appetite, both of them, and that we've got to get ourselves back in control. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me, Lord. Get control of those two appetites. Bring it back into the realm of the spiritual where it's supposed to be. And God bless you all. Thanks for joining us, and stand up for Jesus today. See you tomorrow.